Welcome to Yacht Crew Vlogs, where we tell the stories of those in the yachting industry. A behind-the-scenes look that discovers the individuals in the industry, their history, their passions, and what inspires them to do what they do.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I am your host, and I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest. He is the Commissioner, Joseph Bucholti, from USVI Tourism. Welcome, Joseph.
Thank you, Rhea. Thank you for having me.
No, it's my pleasure. I've heard so much about the Caribbean, and I've never been.
We got to change that. We got to change that soon. Sooner than later.
I know, right? It's one thing to sit there and you know, the wonders of modern day internet. You can sit there and look at photographs till the cows come home. But it's just so beautiful. I mean, there's just something about the Caribbean that is just absolutely stunning.
Yeah, I think it's you know, we've been blessed by being in a wonderful place from a geography standpoint. And then I think that we have also been blessed by that placement to be fortunate to have pretty much year-round wonderful trade winds that make an 85-degree day feel not 85 degrees. So even though you're outside and your sun is up and you're looking at the thermometer and you're like, man, it is going to be hot. But then when you sit down on a beautiful yacht and you're moving around and the trade winds hit you and you're like, wow, I'm warm, but at the same time, I feel, you know, wonderful. And I think that's one of the great things about the Caribbean. And I could speak specifically to the U.S. Virgin Islands, where I reside. You know, there's just the wonderful parts of just having the beaches. And then, of course, for us, I tell it to people all the time, our people are our greatest asset. You know, we are hospitable, we're warm to come through. And I think what sometimes is lost is that we have been in the tourism business for many, many decades. So we understand and appreciate tourism as a main source of our livelihoods here. So when you see people around, whether it's St. Thomas, St. Croix, or St. John, you know, that feeling of, hey, we're welcoming, it's because we want people to feel that they're no longer strangers, but they are part of our fabric here in the territory.
Well, let me ask you, I mean, the elephant in the room, we all have been talking around it, you know, every interview that you do, the pandemic hit everybody very, very hard. Let's go back to prior to the pandemic. What was tourism like in the United States Virgin Islands prior to the pandemic?
Yeah, great question. We were hit in 2017 with two Category 5 hurricanes, Irma and Maria, within 2 weeks. Literally 2 weeks, both hurricanes hit, direct hits on the U.S. Virgin Islands. Irma went right over the U.S. via St. Thomas. I experienced that. I've never experienced anything like Irma. I mean, it was 150 plus miles an hour winds straight for a few hours. And then Maria came right behind. And that impacted St. Croix a little more than St. Thomas. But the impact was the same. And Maria hit Puerto Rico very hard. But it was you know, one of the pieces that came out is people in St. Thomas and St. John were like, well, we didn't get hit that hard. But the reality of it is we got hit as hard, but we were destroyed 2 weeks before. So, you know, when you have that, you don't have much to destroy since then. And then in 19, you know, 18, you know, the train started moving again. Hotel properties were built. Infrastructure was coming back. 19, we had negotiated some pieces in our airlift and pieces that were happening to start to see our cruise business was coming back nicely. And then all of a sudden, you know, we get into 20 and we're like, okay, now we're starting to see, you know, the fruits of all the hard labor and the resiliency of our community. And then COVID hit. And then COVID was different. You know, and I think you know, in your business, like I in mine, COVID was different than, you know, the 2008 recession or a natural disaster that may hit a string of islands. I mean, this was like global. Everybody shut down and everything was closed and you couldn't move, right? You know, I don't think we, you know, many of us had spent the amount of time that we actually spent literally in our homes for long periods of time with uncertainty as to what's going to happen next. And then, you know, our governor and our health team and our tourism team, you know, had meetings in April and May. And our department, tourism for the USVI, we made a strategic decision that we were going all in on overnight guests and marine guests, which is, you know, the topic of yours, because we believe that the business traveler would not lead the rebound, but it was going to be the leisure guests And it was going to be the leisure guests that were willing to take risks. That, and in the first phase, we're going to be those travelers that travel, right? So if you travel, you're going to find a way to travel. And we wanted to make sure that we were ready for it. We talked to our hotels. We came up with this vast list of protocols because ultimately what we had to make sure of was that people felt safe, right? Because if you had to feel safe. And of course, people have different risk tolerances in safety. So we opened in June of 20 and we boomed in that period. For us, 90% plus of our travelers come from the US. So what also was a major variable in our equation was how fast will the US begin to accept COVID as a part of our daily lives, and how will the protocols happen and when people would start moving? Because remember late last year, you know, this was before vaccine talk, right? So people were talking about vaccines, but we didn't know when a vaccine was going to become available. So people started moving. And what we found, you know, to our surprise, and we were very grateful for, was that people really began to travel and wanted to get away. But they had a couple of very important pieces that were critical. One, they wanted to understand the protocols in the destination. And two, what became, and I think is going to be not just a fad, but I think it's going to be part of reality now, is people really put a premium on being outside in the elements and away from other people. So I tell people this, you know, when I go, and, you know, for us in the middle of the summer, it could be 95 degrees and the sun is blazing. And, you know, pre-pandemic, I'm going inside to the air conditioner. Now people are like, no, I'm going to stay outside. And I think that was a natural sort of evolution of us being in the pandemic. And I traveled, you know, during the pandemic up to the Northeast, and I'm sitting outside and it's like 40 degrees and I got this small heat lamp and everybody's outside and they're like comfortable. I'm like, what? It's freezing. But they wanted to be outside. So what happened now to sort of move forward to where we are today? The U.S. Virgin Islands is thriving. Our tourism product is booming. We've been leading the Caribbean, the entire Caribbean in many metrics. And a big part of it has to do with the marine side. Our governor made a decision in April of 2020 to allow for the U.S. Virgin Islands to be a safe harbor for many of our boating family that moved out of some of the other Caribbean islands because of the restrictions that came in. So we saw a major influx of cruise travelers, excuse me, of marine travelers, mega yachts, charter yachts, power boats that were in other destinations come to the U.S. Virgin Islands. And they thrived throughout the pandemic, you know, in the last winter season and throughout, you know, right up until hurricane season, because you may or may not be aware of many of our marine vessels leave the territory for hurricane season, which runs from June to November. And then, of course, they all come back in once we get out of hurricane season. But what we found is that people were really, really receptive. You know, I always call it, and I'm very careful to label it, right? It's a unique situation, right? There's a lot of things that were happening that allowed for destinations who have done well to do well, and others that have not necessarily seen the business. And it's not, and for those, I don't say it's well or not well, right? I say, you know, they made decisions that were best for their country at that time. And for us, you know, we don't have a big European following, and we didn't have a big Canadian following. So when those parts of the world were shut, our bread and butter is the continental US. And that was wide open, as you know, for much of the year. You know, when I talk to people and they say, well, Joe, you know, people not traveling. I said, when last have you been to an airport in the continental US? When last have you been to Miami Airport? When last have you been to Atlanta? When last have you been to Dallas-Fort Worth? I said, you go across these. I mean, the airport, you go through TSA, it is packed. So people were moving. And I think that's where we are right now. Here we move into October, getting ready to ramp up our season, which we expect to be really, really busy, not only on land, but on the water. So having this conversation with you today is great, because we get to share our messaging and why you need to come to the USVI to your listeners all around the world.
Well, and tell me, I mean, you have some beautiful cruising grounds there as well.
Yeah, we have some wonderful places on all three islands to sail, right? So, and I tell people, you know, when you get out on a charter, whether it's a week or you go out on a powerboat, half day sail or some combination in between, you know, we have what you're looking for. So if you want to say, hey, you know, I'm with my family or with my group of friends and I really don't want to see people, And you know, these charter yachts can be stacked with the best five-star hotel in the world in terms of what they can offer while you're on. You know, you can go to a nice small cove off of St. John and it's just you and maybe one other boater, and you swim in your own area, you do what you want. Or you could say, you know, I think we want to get a drink and see what other people are doing. And then we could take you into a place like Cookie Point where you can come in and you know, more and enjoy different kind of local cuisine and local drinks, have lunch, you know, swim in the bay there and then leave. And then, of course, they, we have other opportunities. So if you're between St. Thomas and St. John, you can do a day in St. John and then a day at Lubango Key and then a day on the eastern side of St. Thomas and the western side. I think that's one of the best features that in my experiences with that yachting side of the business is you get to control your destiny every single day. You know, you get to decide, hey, Captain, I want to go here. Or Captain, I think I want to go over here. Or, you know, and the best part about it is if you go someplace and you don't like what you see or feel because there are too many people or there are not enough people, you can just say, Cap, let's go to someplace else. And it's quick as starting up the engine, pulling up the sails, if you have them up, and then gingerly and leisurely cruising around to the next cove, which is literally 10 minutes away, and setting up anchor and starting over again.
Well, one of the nice things about the USVI is that you do have the capability to look after super yachts all the way down to, you know, families that are just cruising and looking for 6 months on board. And that brings us to Yacht Haven Grand. Of course, they've just right. won their fourth year in a row of being the best marina. You know, it's an absolutely amazing place.
Absolutely amazing place. I have the benefit and pleasure of knowing Yacht Haven Grand very, very closely. I used to be the president CEO of the West Indian Company, which is adjacent, which is the big cruise ship pier, which is adjacent to Yacht Haven Grand. And I've worked with Yacht Haven Grand's team, and I was president CEO for 5 years. And Yacht Haven Grand is a tenant of WICO. So, you know, we work together closely. I've been able to see the beautiful yachts, you know, the stores, the red brick, the whole nine, because I, you know, my office literally looked out at Yacht Haven Grand every day. So I saw it and had the pleasure of being involved with it. But I also had the pleasure of having, and this is a bit quick aside, you know, one of the things that fascinated me when we'd go and we'd greet to have conversations with the captains and have of cruise ships, right? You know, sitting up in there and having a cup of coffee with them, and they're looking out and they in awe of the super mega yachts that are sitting in the Yacht Haven Grand. So here it is, the captain of a $1 billion ship that has 5,000 people is in awe of this 250-foot yacht that's sitting there. And he's like, man, Joe, can you imagine if I was in this? I was like, man, you got this big ship. You want to be in a little one? He's like, man, you just don't even understand. I said, oh. So it's awesome when we see those yachts decked up at Yacht Haven Grand. Because what it does is it provides another gem in our crown here in the U.S. Virgin Islands from a tourism and hospitality standpoint. Because as you know, in your space, Rhea, you know, when you see yachts, they speak well to your destination. So when people see these yachts lined up in the different mooring areas across Yacht Haven Grand, and then when they come in and it's in the heart of the season and they're just there beautifully sitting, different shades on the metal. Beautiful. And for us as a destination, people come in and they say, wow, St. Thomas must be doing extremely well. The USVI must be doing extremely well for these people who can choose to be anywhere in the world, right? Quite frankly, because they're super wealthy to choose to be in St. Thomas and at Yacht Haven Grand. So I definitely commend the management team and the ownership group from Andrew Farkas down that provide that wonderful complimentary piece to our tourism product.
Well, and how excited are you then that they're having the inaugural Caribbean Charter Yacht Show December 9th through 12th? That's a coup for you guys.
Huge. If I was there with you, I'd give you a high five for bringing that up. I think that is something that, you know, we all strive for, which is to be recognized by your peers and have your peers appreciate, you know, what you have to offer. And especially in this space that is very restricted in terms of who can play and where you play, right? You got to have the certain, you know, things that people want. And it begins with the marina, right? And then it moves out to macro issues like what you have to offer as a destination. And then, of course, it has to do with how do people get to you? You have to have a level of airlift to get people in, to get on the yachts. Not everybody's going to fly private. But even if they do fly private, you want to make sure that the accommodations are there. And I think, you know, from a tourism head, we check all those boxes. And I think whenever we get an opportunity to play host with Yacht Haven Grand and their people for a big show like this that seems to be well received, I saw some numbers come in to me last week. That tells me that not only are we doing many of the right things in terms of our offerings as a tourism destination and our protocols, particularly in a very serious time in the pandemic, but we also are being recognized as a real super mega yacht destination. That people are willing now to bring, the brokers are willing to come in and say, hey, we're going to invest, you know, 5 or 6 days in a USVI, as well as the buyers on the other side are coming in. And because what that tells us is that, you know, we're now at a place now where if we weren't going to be taken seriously, these people wouldn't be coming. They'd say, hey, well, let's try to do it virtually, or let's keep going to some of these other places we go to. And I think now that we start to get this, not only does it mean immediate benefits from a overall tourism revenue standpoint, but what it does is it sort of positions us to continue our growth perspectives in this space. You know, people then start to see it, and then they say, hey, you know, this is our place where we need to be. And of course, you know, in the space, you know, you want to be the next Monaco. And I think we have the potential to be the Monaco of the Caribbean in what we have to offer and our ability to have people move in and out. You know, and I think if we can establish that position, and of course, you know, it starts with great partners and the ability for people to know that you will receive consistent services that are being sold, right? Because many times, you know, you travel like I travel, you know, sometimes you read the brochure and it is beautiful. And you're like, wow. And then you get there and it's like, hey, what happened? I can attest to the fact that what Yacht Haven says they deliver. And I think for us as a tourism destination, we strive to do the same.
So together, now that you're teaming up with them and becoming a part of this show, what do you see this bringing to the United States Virgin Islands in, say, the next 6 months, the next year? Is this part of your tourism plan for the islands?
Yes, I think the biggest piece that I see it adding to us is outside of enhancing already, you know, starting to grow on a nice clip, our super mega yacht business. I think it introduces other people globally to the U.S. Virgin Islands. As I mentioned earlier, you know, 90% plus of our traffic comes from the continental U.S. But in doing my research and having conversations with people in the space, the super mega yacht space, you know, people are coming in globally. They're coming in from Europe. They're coming in from Asia. They're coming in from South as Australia. I mean, these folks that travel and own these yachts or have shares in these yachts, they're coming in from places that we just don't have the budget to go market to these places around. But what we are hopeful of, and I always tell our team this every single day, as much money as we may spend in marketing and promotion, there's nothing better than word of mouth.
Yeah.
That somebody who came in and can attest and say, hey, I was just spent a week sailing around the U.S. Virgin Islands. Hey, you got to go back, man. Tell your president, CEO, that they need to do, instead of going X, Y, Z, they should try the U.S. Virgin Islands. And of course, what this hopefully does is then opens up the business side of the equation for us in the U.S. Virgin Islands, where that person says, hey, you know, I would love to see if we can get an arrangement from this particular country or this particular major city in Europe to try to get some airlift now direct to the Virgin Islands, just because of the experience that they may have shared during that week in November, or when they come back and do a week that says, hey, this is, I think our people in XYZ country would appreciate what the U.S. Virgin Islands has to offer. And I think, Rhea, that is always one of the big objectives when you sit in the tourism space, is how can you get into markets that your budget doesn't allow you to get into? And I think what happens is when you have these kind of events with very influential people who have now the ability to make huge strides because of their positions in these respective parts globally, now we start to have the right conversation. Because I think one of the things I've found, having been closely to this business and others, particularly in the season, and a lot of the business comes in through the US, is that people want to be able to get to that mega yacht fast. So they don't want to have to mess around and take 10 stops. They want to do two, hit JFK and then hit direct in, and then they're on that to begin that vacation. Yeah. So, and of course, that all happens with Lyft, and that happens to do with conversations to get there. So that's what we're hoping to get out of it. I think the other part of it is we hope that this is begins a long-term relationship with the international yacht community and the U.S. Virgin Islands. And the conduit is Yacht Haven Grand, but you got to start somewhere, right? And I think this event next month is a very, very good start for us. And then you start to say, okay, I think we, from a tourism standpoint, I'm not saying it's going to be perfect because we don't know, because the one thing that is still constant today, and I caution everybody, is the pandemic is still here.
Yeah.
So if we had wrapped the bow up on COVID-19, I'd say, we will deliver that experience. But we still have to understand that, things change. I think for us in the U.S., June and July of this year, we were like, wow, I think we see the light at the end of the tunnel. And then guess what? The Delta smacked us right in the mouth and said, hey, slow down. You need to take it very seriously. And I think we all have to now, every time we see this movie, we got to say, okay, we need to do better. We need to get more people vaccinated. We need to follow the protocols. But I am pleased to say that in my conversations with our yacht group locally and our health team, that we are moving forward to make sure that we have all the protocols in place. It's a vaccinated event. And then we're trying to make sure that we have as many people that can participate, that want to participate, can participate. So those conversations are happening as we speak. I think it's good times ahead for us in our super yacht space and the territory.
Well, to be absolutely honest, we've had quite a few shows, two major shows since things have started opening up again. We've got, of course, FLIBS happening in Fort Lauderdale coming up quickly.
Right.
And Mets happening in November. The protocols have been met. We have been seeing, some absolutely amazing interaction and business done at these yacht shows. And protocol is being followed. It's just something that we're having to learn, and we're all accepting it. So, IGY Marinas is known for being meticulous in everything and anything that they do. So I can guarantee you that they're going to be watching, and they have been watching every single show that has happened. And they're going to make sure that they take those lessons and do it even better. And you know what? Hopefully I'll be able to make it up and get over there, because like I said, I really do want to come and visit.
Well, let's hope we see you there. Get that passport ready and get that, ticket bought and get in there. Hopefully we can have part two of this interview, right? Standing up on Yacht Haven's property, looking out at the wonderful view.
With a plate of food in front of me.
Of course. We got to have that. We got to make sure that that's there.
That's the only way to do an interview. A nice plate of food in front of you, a beautiful background, and some good company. And there, you can't go wrong.
No, I agree 100%.
Well, do you know what? I am looking forward to having another conversation with you afterwards, just to see how things are going. And we did have a conversation off air in regards to sort of the plans for the tourism board in the future. And I'd like to explore that further at another date, if you'll give me the time later.
Of course. Thank you very much. I appreciate all you do for the yachting business. And of course, what you're doing now for the U.S. Virgin Islands. Anytime we have an opportunity to share a message, it's a good day. And with you on the other side of this Zoom call, unfortunately we can't be face-to-face today, but hopefully we can shift that next time and have it live and face-to-face, because I think one of the things that has been happening, I think that just to close with the yacht show, is that people recognize that as much as we've been doing stuff virtually, nothing replaces doing business face-to-face. Yeah. And actually seeing and touching the vessels and talking to people about, their needs of their clients and what has to be done. Yes, we are mindful that we're still in the pandemic, but we're also mindful that, COVID's not going anywhere and business needs to continue. And if we can do it face-to-face, i.e. November in St. Thomas, I can't think of a better place to do it.
I couldn't agree more. Thank you again for your time. It's really appreciated. I know you're a busy man.
Thank you. And look forward to seeing and meeting you face-to-face soon.
For sure. Once again, you have been listening to the Commissioner Joseph Buchalte from USVI Tourism. We will supply all of his information and, of course, websites to check it out underneath this interview when it airs. We thank you for tuning in. My name is Rhea. I have been your host. We'll see you again next time.